306 DGS. Going to talk to our friend Brad Young here about the new filing by Jack Smith. But first, I have to make a confession. I just straight up ate out of the trash.
That's okay. Did you put it there?
I did.
Well, that's fine.
We had our friends from Queen of All Saints on. They're having this Uncorked event coming up. And Rick, the owner of the Bar Down Sports Bar, brought in several sandwiches. He brought in a BLT, which Rach grabbed. And she was kind enough to share it with me. And it's one of the best bites of food I've ever had.
So good.
So then she didn't finish her half. So I'm just like, you don't mind. I'll just have this.
You want that?
Yeah. So I took that like a trash panda. And then I didn't want to seem like a total idiot. So I threw a little bit of bread with a little bit of mayo and a little bit of bacon in the trash. And I just kept staring at it. And I finally, I'm just like, who are you trying to impress?
It's calling to you.
Yeah. So I ate it.
Yeah.
Right out of the trash.
I've done that.
I mean,
I'm sure you're shocked that I've done that, but
that's all right. That was a really good BLT. If it were a lesser BLT, maybe I would judge you.
Yeah.
But that was exceptional.
Brad Young, you ever eaten anything out of the trash?
Oh, man, have I. Hey, I'm from Southern Illinois. Yeah. That's like dinner every night.
Yeah. What am I talking about? You're from West Frankfort. You kidding me?
I know. West Frankfort, man, that trash is what's for dinner every night.
Yeah. In Sester, they don't know how to not eat out of the trash. So
exactly.
So Jack Smith has filed a superseding indictment on former President Trump. Tell us what this is and why it was necessary.
Well, the actual indictment, Dave, is exactly the same as the prior indictment in terms of the charges. So nothing changes whatsoever. The reason why this new indictment was necessary, though, is because the Supreme Court ruled in July that presidents enjoy broad immunity when it comes to official acts. And as you know from reading through these indictments in the past, there's something called a talking indictment or a walking indictment, where the indictment is buried in a lot of verbiage. And that verbiage in the original indictment included a lot of allegations that could be construed as official acts, including discussions with members of his cabinet, discussions with other members of the White House team. And so they had to file a new indictment, Jack Smith did, to get all that out, because it was very problematic from a legal perspective, because the Supreme Court's already ruled, can't do that. So this was to get around, or an attempt to bypass, the restrictions imposed mm-hmm. by the Supreme Court in July.
So he just cleaned it up, basically.
Yeah, it's like a, you know, it's like a redo. It's like an edit. And so that's what was filed. It had to go back to the grand jury. The grand jury, not surprising, came back. It's a new grand jury, but came back with the same indictment. So now we're off to the races. But now, though, and when I say off to the races, it's really not. It's like off to the turtle races.
Yeah.
Because this isn't going anywhere for the better part of 6 to 9 months.
So, Brad, pull out your crystal ball and just your political analyst side. If Donald Trump loses this election and kind of goes away a little quieter this time, what are the chances that Jack Smith continues to pursue under a Kamala Harris administration? Or what are the chances they go, like, let's just let the old guy go?
You know, I don't see that happening here. I don't see like a Nixonian kind of a thing, like he's going to go away, so let's just forget it. Certainly there's not going to be any pardon happening here. If Trump wins, this whole thing disappears.
Yeah.
No question about it. If Trump loses, normally I would have said, yeah, this goes away. It was really just designed to lead up to the election. But at this point, the animosity is so high. The toxicity level is so high. I think that this will continue to be pursued if Harris wins in November. It'll continue to be pursued, not just because of Trump, but to be a message. Again, I'm not arguing this is my opinion. I'm just giving you my analysis of how the Harris team will look at it. I think they will look at it to say, we want to stop anyone else from being Trumpian. And so we're going to continue prosecuting this, even though it's functionally irrelevant.
Thank you, Brad. Great as always. Appreciate it.
Happy to do it.
I feel better about eating out of the trash after Brad Young says he did.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody, I don't believe someone who says they've never done it. I mean, there are conditions, right? I mean, there are certain trash cans I wouldn't take anything out of. But.
Well, so, good point. There's trash and then there's trash.
Right.
Yeah, like there's limits to this, right? Like,
yes.
Like when you ask me if I've eaten out of the trash, do you mean like the trash, or do you mean like the trash.
Like your own trash.
Right. Like there's a little trash can right next to Dave. Uh-huh. There's not much in there. You put something, it's still sitting on top, and then you take it out. Nothing wrong with that.
Yes. Everyone, I think, has done that.
What is your limit? What is your outer limit? Would you, I leave for the day, and I leave half a BLT sitting there on a plate in my trash, which you know nothing about.
Mm.
Nope.
Do you go for it?
No.
Nope. Off limits.
That I wouldn't do. And I would never, like, you know, like eat out of like a dumpster or like a public trash can or anything like that.
Right. I mean, if I was hungry enough, I might.
He really said that with pride.
I know. It was, I mean, like, weirdly adorable. He was like, and I would never eat out of a dumpster.
And just so you know. Sure.
Just for the record.
Yeah, exactly. I just want it on the record.
I did
by
know.
By the way, weirdo, what was that noise you made with Brad?
I don't know. Okay. Okay. I'm glad everyone heard that. My mic was on. Lately, I've been having these little coughs, and they just come out. It's like, like out of nowhere. And it kind of feels like it's going to be like a hiccup or something, but it's just like a weird cough.
That was weird.
It's very strange. And it really stinks whenever I'm like taking a drink of something, and then I'm like.
Like attorney Brad Young, tell us about Jack Smith. You're like. Then you really couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, because it was like,
it was pretty funny.
It finally happened on the air.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then Brad didn't hear it, so he couldn't address it because Brad went into it.
Right. They can be like, what? What is that weird sound?
Thoughtful and honest thoughts on the Trump cut trial.
You guys hear about the Venmo mom? Did one of you have this in your show prep?
The Venmo mom?
Yeah.
No.
Venmo momming. Uh-uh. There's this, she's gone viral, of course, where she says, like, look, I'm not a room mother. I'm not helpful. I don't bake. I don't do anything. I'm not helping out my kids' school, but I'll Venmo you the money.
Yeah,
if it was $10 per kid, here's my $10, leave me alone, and people are divided that, yeah, of course, you don't have to bake cookies. You can just Venmo the cookie baker, and other people are saying, like, you're not a real mom unless you're putting your hands in the dough.
Yeah, those people are idiots.
Yeah, give me a break. What are the dads expected to do?
Good point.
I mean, not to make it about that, but like what dad would say, like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't bake cookies. And
low
everyone
standard.
Would be like, oh, you're the worst. You should be baking cookies all day for these kids.
That's a good point, because any dad that said that exact same thing, like, I'm not baking cookies, but I'll write you a check.
They'd be like
you'd
so
be like,
generous.
Okay, thanks, daddy.
Oh, my gosh, she's so involved.
People should do what they are apt to do, like what they're good at doing, what they're like, what falls within their normal life. If you're good at something, and you can help out with that, do that. If not, nothing wrong with money.
Another child-related controversy going on. There was this kid whose first car was an Audi sports car. And he was taking videos of him going 170 miles an hour.
He's 16?
In his Audi, yes. And then his mom, who gave him the Audi, had it hooked up to an app where she can tell how fast he's going. And she was texting him, you're giving me a heart attack, slow down, but not taking the car away. In fact, she bought him a faster car, and he was going 130 miles an hour and crashed and killed his friend.
Wow.
So the parents of the dead kid are wanting this lady prosecuted because you knew your son was being reckless to the nth degree, 177 miles an hour on public streets, and you did nothing. In fact, you bought him a bigger, faster car. I think she bought him one of the new Mustangs with like a 650 horsepower kind of thing. And now my kid's dead.
Yeah.
That's a tough thing. I mean, I have to think about it a little bit, but I can understand. Like, at some point, as a parent, just saying, you're scaring me, that's not parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Parenting is, I have your keys, you need to earn.
As soft of a parent as I am, if I had any inkling that Phoebe was going even 100 miles an hour, much less 177, car's gone.
Especially, I mean, it's one thing when they're off on their own, right? So, like, for me, if I was 23 years old and I'm on my own and, you know, somehow my parents find out about it, there's nothing they can do.
Yeah.
If I'm 16 and my dad found out I was going 120, I don't have car keys anymore.
Yep.
And I don't have them until I prove to him that he can trust me, which is a lot, right? I mean, what's the level that you would have to have your kid go through to prove to you that you can trust them after they were that reckless, soon out of the gate? Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's what parenting is doing the difficult things like that, even though it's going to be a pain in your butt. And you might deal with their, you know, their attitude. You might have to drive them around when you don't want to.
Yeah.
That's part of being a
parent.
Man,
I have terrible referred driving anxiety. Phoebe goes to KU. It's about a 4-hour drive back home, and it's as straight of a shot as a shot can be. It's Highway 70 the whole time, but there are just so many idiots out on the roads, and she may be a little faster driver than she should be. When you're that age, you're bulletproof. You don't think anything's ever going to happen, and she's supposed to come home for my birthday and go to the Cards game with me on September 6th, and I'm really thinking about telling her not to come home. I know.
Because you're worried about the speeding.
I'm worried about, no, I'm just worried about her driving.
I get you.
8 hours in 3 days.
Yeah.
It's just not worth it if anything happened. But, I mean, that's life. I mean, she's going to drive home. She's going to drive back. And she's got 3 more years left.
Yep.
But my anxiety level's so high when it comes to that.
Yeah, I definitely understand. I've definitely gone through that. But not with a child. I mean, that seems way more anxiety inducing.
Just think of Lucy, the flag burning
gosh,
cat we're driving.
If she were driving, no,
she'd be just going to protest.
But yeah. I'll get anxiety about like anybody drive. I'm like, oh, just be careful. You know, I get very uptight about that, and I know it's not rational because mm-hmm. it's like statistically nothing's
right.
going to happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sorry that's happening, Dave. That being said, you should definitely let her come home for your birthday.
I know.
Yeah, the way that I did it with the way I addressed it with my kid was I was a lot less pushy about those kinds of things. Like if she was going to drive back to school in Alabama without us, or when she drove to North Carolina to move there for grad school, I was a lot less preachy about that than I am when you're just around your own time. And you're going out with friends or you're going to a party or anything like that, I think that's when it's much more likely to be a problem because you're much more likely to be tired. You know, kids do stupid things. Like that would be where I was more do not do the stupid thing, not do the stupid thing, where on the longer drives, I will always say be safe, but it's not the same level of intensity.
You think it matters when you say, now one time it mattered because I told Phoebe knows about my anxiety. And I told her, like, look, babe, this has nothing to do with you and you're driving. I'm having a really bad bout of anxiety. She was coming home. And I said, please do me a favor and just promise me you'll take it slow. And she's like, I get it and I promise.
Aww.
Maybe she did, maybe she didn't.
Right.
But it helped me just saying that out loud.
Yeah, it never changed anything when my dad would be like, drive careful.
I know.
I would just be like, okay.
When it's just like the classic.
Right.
Like, it's just like.
Yeah.
My dad, what I say, don't let your car run out of gas. I'd be like,
well, my dad still says that to me. And actually, I was over there a couple weeks ago, and he and my Uncle Jim were both like, drive slow, like, you know, be careful. And it was, you know, as an adult, it's so nice to hear that and just be like, oh, they care, you know. I wasn't planning on driving crazy in the first place.
But. I have done it, you know, but for the grace of God go I have driven too fast. But it's so dangerous and so stupid. And I get so mad now when I see people do it, whether it's Highway 40 or Highway 70, when I'm going 65, which is breaking the speed limit, and you pass me going 90 or 100. How dare you? And how dare I when I did it? Because it's not just you on the road. I saw some a-hole on a motorcycle, and I can say that because I'm a motorcyclist myself, popping a wheelie down Highway 40 for about half a mile. F you.
Yeah.
How dare you take someone else's safety for granted so that you can show off to no one who's impressed?
Yep. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of places off the highway you can go do that.
Yeah. Go do it yourself.
Parking lot.
Run into a tree. Do whatever you want to do. Just don't do it around my family.
Yep.
Oh, look how mad I am.
Get him, Dave.
I know.
Get him.
Kind of guy that'd eat out of the trash right now. So we got a nice email from a listener.
We got a very nice email, Dave, from Patricia. She said, I'm putting in my request for Dave at my hospice bed. He would make the journey about as enjoyable as possible. I love him. I'm so sorry for his heart losing his dear mama. He was such a wonderful and devoted son. I really admire him.
That's about as nice as an email gets.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Thank you, Patricia.
I feel like I'm going to annoy people who are dying.
I don't think so.
I would be the one annoying people. Could you imagine that?
I can't bring you with me.
Everybody in the wing would be like, get this guy out of here. He's so loud.
That would be something. Wheeler in hospice.
I mean, I'm not trying to be loud.
Let's just hope that the person isn't a Buddhist because...
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, listen,
what a bunch of crap.
Put that right up here.
They told me their teachings. I was like, duh, who doesn't already know that?
Durr.
Your religion's dumb.
No, just that thought process.
Oh, possessions are fleeting. Everything's fleeting, idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
Nature of life is transient, stupid.
Couldn't figure that out walking across the street. Thanks,
I didn't realize it was Captain Obviousism.
I thought you were going to say Captain Underpants.
But no, that was a very nice email from Patricia. I'm not sure why I'm having such a hard time saying her name. And we've just gotten so many amazing comments through email, through Facebook, Twitter, all these places of people sending their condolences about your mom.
Yeah.
And
incredibly
I really
cool.
appreciate it. I can't imagine how much it means to you.
My mom's birthday is next Thursday.
Yeah.
The day before the big 6-0.
Yeah.
Oh, really? That close?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was born the day after her birthday.
Wow.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 334. Dave Murray's back with us. Dave, good to talk to you.
Yes. Grandson's in town, so things are a little busy.
I bet. How old's grandson now?
He'll be 5 in early January.
What a great age.
Four and a half. Yeah, it really is.
It's almost the perfect age because they're old enough to do a lot of stuff.
Yes.
But they're young enough they haven't lost their innocence.
Yeah.
Right.
They still like being around you.
Yeah. To really reason. Yes, that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, when they get to be about 8 and they realize they're funny, it's like, now you're just annoying me.
You're right.
And then when they're 13, they're useless. Like,
well, they're not even in the room when they're 13.
Yeah, 5's perfect. That's awesome. Dave, did you hear the news that Ted Drew passed away?
I just heard that.
Yeah.
It's shocking to me.
Didn't realize he was 96.
I did not either. Got to eat that frozen custard. Keeps you young, I guess.
What an institution. I mean,
oh, man. Is it ever? And still will be.
I feel bad about something at work.
What's wrong?
What is it that drives me to confess everything to 100,000 people? So I think you'd agree. I'm friends with people here at work.
Yeah.
I don't have any enemies. Yeah. Everyone's my buddy. But there are a few people kind of on the periphery that I don't work right with them. And they look alike and I don't know who they are. And and so when that happens, I go over the top. Like, if I see Andrew, I'm like, hey, what's up, brother? If I see one of these guys, I'm like, hey, what's up? How you doing? Like, I just go over the top. Like, we're buddies. We're friends. And suddenly there's a third. And it could be one person, could be three. And then I realize that he's a contract worker. And he's just here to fix the computers this week. And he's got to be wondering why this bald guy's hitting on him.
Why is this jerk? Who's this jerk?
Okay, but all of the people that they brought in to help us with engineering stuff all look like the current engineers here.
Yes.
Like they are clones.
Thank you.
Yeah, they are carbon copies. I have felt the same thing.
Yeah, they're from Central Casting.
I didn't even know that new people were in the building.
Well, you're even worse than me.
I have not noticed any of these guys.
Now, let's be honest here. I've been in the business a long time. You can tell an engineer, whether it be radio or TV, from a mile away. They all look alike.
Yep.
But you would think that, like, they're side characters in the Dave show and, like, they got recast. And they're trying, like, just find somebody who looks
find
a lot
somebody
like
who looks
him.
Like that guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I guarantee you they think the same thing about all of us, too.
In fact,
probably.
They all look the same.
In fact, the guy I'm talking about today, he finally hit me. I'm like, hey, how you doing? And he goes, fine. Like, for real.
Like, why are you
with
being
exactly
weird?
That emphasis.
He's
just like,
I don't know who you
are.
Yeah,
I don't know you. I'm not going to be your friend. Will you stop it?
Yeah, the other thing, when you do that to an engineer, because most engineers, and I love them all that I've ever worked with, is, what do you want? What do you need from me?
That's probably what he's thinking. He's like, I'm busy. Sorry to say I'm busy, kid. Like, I'm probably 20 years older than him. Isn't that weird? You just don't accept your
man,
age?
I'm...
Move, boy. I'm busy. Got many things to do.
So one more day of this, Dave?
Yeah, we really have to, as far as humidity is concerned, we've really got to get through Friday. We hit 100 on Monday, 102 yesterday. That tied the record from 1881. And I have a little bone to pick with the way records are being done now, and it's relatively new. That tied the record. So in the listing of the records, it should say 1881, 102, and 2024. 102.
Agreed.
But they're erasing the 1881 and just calling the record 2024. So when you look at the books, in a sense, you say, oh man, look at that. It hit 102 in 2024. that must be the hottest like ever. Well, it wasn't. It happened in 1881. So that's why I always kind of preach, got to be really careful with numbers in this business.
You lose context. I agree with you.
Yeah, yeah. So we got a couple of spot thunderstorms here and there. They're mainly down around Festus right now. Spot thunderstorms until, let's say, about 8:30 or so. But spot's the key word. Very humid overnight. 77 for the low. Thursday, partly sunny, hot and humid. A couple of spot thunderstorms, 98 degrees. Thursday night, spot evening storm, 77. Friday, there's a cool front coming in. It's going to take all day to get here. But we'll see an uptick in scattered shower and thunderstorm activity. Very humid on Friday, 90 degrees. Scattered showers and thunderstorms Friday night. That's the cool front coming through. Might be a leftover thunderstorm, mainly St. Louis south on Saturday morning. Dropping humidity, partly sunny skies, 84 on Saturday. The feel will get better and better on Saturday. Sunday, sunny skies, comfortable 86. A secondary cold front comes through. It's a dry front. Late Sunday, Sunday night, and Monday for Labor Day, sunny skies, 79, 80 degrees for the high.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
How about that? Very nice.
Yes. Yes.
Headlines, Rage.
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app.
Why don't you give Dave that headline of yours from hour one? Don't remember it now?
It's slipping my mind.
Is it vague? Yeah.
Yeah, I can't.
Dave, we'll spare you. Rach got a little over his skis in the first hour.
Okay.
Yeah. Everyone can podcast it, though, if they want to.
It's there you out go. There.
It's
hour
out
number
there
one.
Forever. Yep. That'll never be erased.
That happened. Yep. So I have to live with that. But that's okay. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. So neighbors in a Boston suburb came through in a big way to support a local child looking to raise money for his brother's hockey team. 12-year-old Danny Doherty decided to set up a stand selling homemade ice cream to raise money for his autistic brother's hockey team. But he was shut down by town officials after someone made a complaint that he was violating state food code.
I just hate these guys.
I do too. Come on.
But Danny was smart. He was very smart. He hatched a new plan. Give away the ice cream for free and solicit donations. He raised $1,000 in the first 10 minutes. And eventually a local radio station and a local candy company got involved, and they raised $20,000.
Good story.
Yeah. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, screw those Karens. I mean, even if someone gets sick, you're not going to die, you know? You'll be on the pot for a couple days. You'll be fine. You'll get
the problem. With it, don't buy the ice cream.
Yeah, don't buy the lemonade from a child if you're so concerned about getting sick.
Yeah.
I mean, no one's forcing you to do it.
I used to have backyard carnivals.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You've talked about this before.
Yeah. Me and Stacy Gill, we would put together rides and we would make slushies in paper cups and sell them for, you know, a nickel or something. We'd have yard sales.
We used
to make haunted houses like in each of our basements, and you would kind of like set it up like a maze and do all that stuff. It was awesome.
What did you say, Andrew? Yeah.
What sort of rides?
Oh, like swings.
Okay.
And then the one. Yeah. I mean, like, we would add drama to it. You know?
Oh,
like,
yeah. Of course.
But then the one that sent me into the wheat field, literally, was we had a creeper, which is the thing that real men lay on their back and go under a car and change the oil.
Yeah.
And they had caster metal wheels. And my friend Eddie had a big carport. And so you would lay on the creeper and grab onto a pogo stick. Mm-hmm. And then we were on the other end of the pogo stick and we'd spin you around. And it was a hell of a ride. Like, it was really something. And then one kid freaked out and pulled his hands in, and it kind of cut the tip of his finger off.
Yeah.
And I went running into the wheat field, and I didn't come out until like after dinner.
Yeah.
You're like, oh no.
Yeah. You're like, I don't have insurance for this.
I don't want that smoke.
That's one for the popo.
A Colorado man was forced to spend the night on a mountain peak after his coworkers left him behind during an office retreat. The hiker was part of a group of 15. I kind of had that thought when I was pulling the story.
Hey, where's Andrew?
Exactly. So a group of 15 coworkers were attempting to climb this mountain. He arrived at the summit first, but got lost during his descent. So his coworkers tried texting him directions, but he didn't have cell service because there was a storm. Eventually, rescue teams were contacted and worked through the night to find him. He was able to call 911 after he got cell service again.
His coworkers sucked. They they left like a trail, not of literal breadcrumbs, but of just objects, so that if anyone got lost, and then they picked them up.
They picked them up on the way back.
On the way back, they picked them up. This guy had nothing.
And the purpose of this activity is to build teamwork and trust.
Where's Andrew? Where's Andrew? He's fine. Let's just go. Fine.
He summited first, as we all expected.
we all knew he was going to summit the mountain first. I mean, that goes without saying.
Taking selfies.
So he's probably on his way home already.
Vice President Kamala Harris and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz are expected to sit down with CNN for their first joint interview. It will air at 9 p.m. Eastern time, so 8 o'clock our time, tomorrow, as the candidates embark on a bus tour through the battleground state of Georgia. But from what I hear, this is going to be a pre-recorded interview, which I don't really like. I wish they were doing it live.
Just do it live, yeah.
Yeah, like, what do you... I'm not saying you have something to hide, because that's not always the case when pre-recording something. I mean, maybe it's just the time that it lines up for CNN to get this interview or whatever, but you've taken so long to do an interview that it would be nice if it was happening live.
You know how Trish was in today, because she works from home most of the time, and you guys get this. Trish is the most South County insightful person. She's like a South County philosopher. Like, she's so insightful and just cutting. And she has ruined Dana Bash for me. Dana Bash is doing the big interview. And I don't know why she and I were talking about it the other day, but she's like, Dana Bash drives me crazy. And I'm like, what about Dana Bash? She's like, she just seems like she never knows what she's going to say. And it's true. Like, Dana Bash is very... slow. She's very contemplative. A lot of people probably find it very intellectual. Now that she said that, I can't watch her. Damn it, Trish.
Sometimes people ruin things.
I know, right?
But you know what? I'm probably going to look at Dana Bash differently now, too. I'm going to be paying closer attention.
Yeah, no, when you think about it, like, she just seems so halting. She doesn't know what she's going to say next. And you're just like, oh, Dana Bash.
Oh, you. A small Kentucky town has more people taking the popular weight loss drug Ozempic than anywhere else in the country.
Wow.
Bowling Green, Kentucky has been nicknamed Ozempic Town, USA, with weight loss clinics popping up around the city. At least 4% of the residents living in the area have received a prescription for weight loss drugs such as Ozempic and Wegovy, compared to just 1% in places like Brooklyn, New York, or the greater Miami area.
Well, I mean, good for them. They can... qualify on their insurance, or they can afford it private pay, and they're going to lose weight and be healthier. Good for them.
Yeah, they're saying these drugs have just become so affordable that more and more people are jumping on it all the time.
Dave, speaking of eating, I ate out of the trash can a couple segments ago because someone brought food in, and it was the best BLT I ever had, and I threw about a quarter of a sandwich away, and then I regretted it, and I ate it. Do you ever eat out of the trash?
No, but all I can think about is grandson's favorite show is a show called Trash Truck. I don't know if you've seen it. It's on Netflix. It's an animated thing. And there's two characters. There's a raccoon and there's a big bear. And that's what they like to do. They like to go to eat the trash.
The trash.
And Dave Glover.
All I can think about.
Yeah, there
get
you
him
go.
A guest spot on the show.
Right.
One more story here, and it's about the Cybertruck, since you guys love to make fun of me for not hating the Cybertruck as fervently as the rest of you. Tesla won't punish you for selling your Cybertruck anymore. I did not know this was a thing, but there was a clause in their agreement that was a no resale clause that prevented buyers from selling their Cybertrucks within a year of receiving them.
Yeah.
Breaking the clause could lead Tesla to demand liquidated damages of $50,000 or more.
This guy. Wow.
Because people were reselling them for more than the ticket price, right? Because they were in such high demand and they couldn't fulfill the orders. So people were just ordering them, and if they got it, they'd be like, hey, you can get this for $50,000 more than the sticker price. Which
I'm really disliking Elon Musk.
Oh, he's so bad.
Yeah. I'm late to the party on that, but
he's
really
like
annoying.
Dana Bash of...
He never knows what he's going to say next.
He's so contemplative.
You know what he's going to do, though? He's going to do the thing that angers the most people.
On purpose?
No, I don't know. I don't know. He seems to like the attention.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Really?
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All righty.
Coming up at top of the hour, we have Tom Ackerman. Going to talk all things Cardinals. Maybe get a little Mizzou in there.
Yeah. You Mizzou know kicks off tomorrow night.
Feeling bad for on television commercials? The Schwab guy.
The Schwab
Are you familiar
guy.
With these? The Schwab guy who's always losing his clients. but somehow still meeting with them. And they're always like, yo, because Schwab's so great. He's like, Schwab.
I've never seen
Is this
these.
Only on my television?
No, I've seen them. Yep.
Is it a local commercial?
No.
No, the Charles Schwab investment.
Oh,
big giant. Yeah. The biggest commercial on TV right
now. It's all about, you're talking to a guy that
Everyone's
can't
talking
do
about it.
Any of the things that they do. And then when somebody brings them up, he's like, it's almost like Newman.
He's a really good actor, and I feel bad for him. I want him to get.
Oh, you mean the guy playing the loser guy?
Yeah. See, there you go. That hurt. That had a physical effect on me.
Shots fired.
Oh, you mean the loser? You mean your friend the loser?
He's losing out to the Schwab.
The Schwab.
I'm sorry. That's Schwab. That's what we always call.
May the Schwab be with you.
Well, that's how what we called Howie Schwab. He used to work for ESPN. He's one of their numbers guys, and he had a show called Stump the Schwab, where it would be like trivia, and he knew literally Howie knew everything. Great guy. Okay. So there's that story.
Okay. I'm going to buy the rights then and make a musical.
Okay. It was the Schwab.
Hey, what other commercials have you been watching lately? Let's round this out.
Anything about hamburgers?
Hey, okay, you're right. Why am I trying to smart off to anybody today?
I don't know. You're on dangerous ground there. You got about a week. You need to be nice to us.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.